the book of Genesis, and we are going to read chapter 26. There's a powerful story there as we continue the teaching on the kingdom law of prophets. We continue our series on the kingdom law of prophets. And this is the third part of that series. And please, I will implore all of us to go to the website and to listen to all those messages again and again and again. Because if you get this, if you can get what God is teaching us regarding the kingdom law of prophets, beloved, it does not matter what you don't get. If you can get this one, it doesn't matter what else you do not get. This one will work for you in every area of your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. We will read from the very first verse. Shall we rise on our feet to read the word of God? We'll read verses 1 to 6, and then we'll go to 12 to 14. Not because the hyphen verses are not important, but I just didn't want to bother you with what was in the middle of that. Are you there? Please say amen if you are. Amen. Praise God. So let's read. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven, and give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Now let's go to verse 12 to 14. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Father, we thank you for your word today. Let your word find entrance into our hearts today. And let it bring forth fruits to the glory of your name and to the advancing of your kingdom. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're about to do with the word of God today. Your credit is good with me because I know you do good all the time. Thank you for the liberty of the Spirit, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I title to this message, Your Access to Your Assets. Your Access to Your Assets. Praise the Lord. Let somebody say it with me. Your access to your assets. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. From the beginning, God's mandate is for his children to live a profitable life. And I've said it before that God himself thinks profit. Everything that God does, he invests a seed and he expects the seed to bring about multiplication. Right from the beginning, from the book of Genesis, God said it about you. He said, let them be fruitful. Hallelujah. And multiply. And replenish the earth. And subdue it. and let them have dominion. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. To be fruitful is to produce. To multiply is to reproduce what has been produced. Praise the Lord. To replenish is to distribute. And to subdue is to take absolute control. Hallelujah. So God's plan for you as his child is for you to be in charge and for you to be in control. In control of the atmosphere. God's mandate for us is to control the narrative, to control the agenda here on earth. Hallelujah. And how do we do it? We do it by kingdom laws and principles that God has given unto us. That's what we dominate by. Hello? That's what God expects. Now, when we go into our text today, and we see the story of Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham, the son of promise, the one that the Lord promised him and Sarah. And God blessed Abraham, as we read in that text. And he said, the blessing will not only be on Abraham, but it will be upon all his descendants. Hallelujah. And he said, they will be so mightily blessed, and they will be great people. But it got to a point when Isaac started living his own life to be his own man. He got to a point in his life. The Bible said there was famine. Just as there was famine also in the time of his father Abraham. Hallelujah. And that tells me something. Praise the Lord. That no matter what God says or what God has promised you, you will have to fight to take delivery of it. Praise the Lord. Whatsoever God has promised you, is you will have to contend with some forces for you to take delivery of it. Now, whosoever God says that you are, you will have to become it. Praise the Lord. If God say, oh, you are mighty, you are a great person, you are a prosperous person, beloved, you will have to become prosperous. And becoming something will take a process. Praise the Lord. Becoming who God says that you are will take a process. So in the days of Abraham, there was famine. And he needed to overcome the famine for him to take delivery of that blessing that God has blessed him. The same thing with Isaac. Because some of us probably would say, well, God has blessed Abraham, and probably Isaac also would say, well, God has blessed my father, so let me just be enjoying the blessing. Hallelujah. But it doesn't come like that. Even though you have a prophecy that is spoken over your life, you are going to have to do warfare with that prophecy before you see it come to pass. So in the life of Isaac, the Bible says there was a famine as well. A famine represents a challenge. A famine represents a restriction. A famine represents a limitation. Praise the Lord. So the famine that showed up was restricting Isaac from coming into the blessing of God for his life. Hallelujah. And what did he do? The Bible said that Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, and unto Gerar. In verse 2, the Bible said, God appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Now we need to know exactly what Egypt stands for. In their days, Egypt were not a people of God. So Egypt represents the Babylonian system. The ungodly, the heathen, the unbeliever. It represents the world and the world system. Praise the Lord. So God appeared unto Isaac and said, yes, there is famine right now. And God said, now, don't go down. Because anytime that things are tough, many people want to go down. Why? Down where? To the world system. When things don't go your way, when you pray and you do not see results, you want to go down. So God came and said, Isaac, you can't go down. I've already set you up. You can't go down to start walking in the flesh when you have the power to walk in the spirit. You can't go down to compromise with the system of the world. Don't look at what Egypt has to offer. You see, God will not come to you and warn you not to go down if you are not already thinking of going down. Hallelujah. He knew that, you see, in biblical map, historical map, Gerar is a place that is on a lower valley than Egypt. Okay? No, it's on a higher valley than where Egypt is. And Gerar was where Isaac was. If you're on the peak, the highest place in Gerar, you will be looking down and seeing Egypt. Now, in their days, you know that Egypt, of course, had everything. The prosperity was in Egypt. Egypt was doing well. Things were going well for Egypt. So Egypt actually represented like the commercial nerve of the world as at that time. It was the trade center of the world. Things were happening there. And the Bible says, in Gerar, where he was, there was famine. Hallelujah. And he looked at where he was. He must have looked at it and said, famine. See me now. I'm in famine. These people are feasting. I'm in famine. These people are having festivals. He must have looked and said, it must be better for me to go there. Hello? Sometimes waiting for the promise of God to manifest in our lives, many of us are so impatient. Like I said it yesterday, you see, everybody wants a Ferrari that is going to take you to Ibadan in 20 minutes. Nobody wants to go in a Volks. And let they adore you. It might be noisy. Hello? Nobody wants that. You want what you want. You want it just like that. Everybody wants instant, immediate gratification. But beloved, if you are really going to walk with God, you are going to put under lock and key immediate gratification, because that's not how God operates. Hallelujah. Don't let anybody lie to you and say Jehovah is sharp, sharp. You will never grow to know this Jehovah. And that is not the plan of God for you and I. His plan is that we know him and we know his ways. Anybody who's telling you Jehovah sharp, sharp, and you are seeing some result, is their faith that is working for you. It is not your faith working for you. Praise the Lord. Yes. With a gift of special faith, somebody can speak something into your life and then it will happen just like that. And you'll be wondering. That's why you see in a crusade and somebody will just jump out of a wheelchair. How much faith did he have? Hello? He was probably not even born again. Don't you know that God can heal an unbeliever? Praise the Lord. Why? Because the goodness of the Lord leadeth men unto repentance. When God heals him, you say, there is a God. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. But you see, being blessed by somebody's gift does not grow your faith in God. It will only make you a beggar Who will always be looking for a gift and not for the giver. God never wants your focus and my focus to be on any gift, but on the giver himself, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He wants to have a personal walk with you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know his ways, not only his acts. The Bible says Moses knew the ways of God, but the children of Israel knew his acts. They just knew. Yes, Moses went. He parted the Red Sea. Everybody went inside and enjoyed. They were enjoying the gift. And it got to a point where God looked at it and said, these people will not be able to enter into their inheritance. If I leave them like this, he took Moses. Bam! And left them with Joshua. Joshua knew war. Joshua knew fight. Praise the Lord. And Joshua told them, you want to possess the land that God has given to you, you are going to have to fight to get it. Praise the Lord. Under Joshua, they began to grow. Because God told him, you are the one that will divide their inheritance to them. Praise the Lord. Under Moses, everybody was just following Moses. Let Moses do this one. You go and collect the law. You go and do this one for us. We want food, though, he will do it. We want water, he will do it. We want this one. There was nothing they did for themselves. Praise the Lord. That's why sometimes you just give your life to Christ. You just pray one some small prayer like this. The answer will just come. Yes, because as a baby, you are fed. You are cleaned. You are put to bed. You are being bathed. But how many of you, when you have reached certain age, if you are 10 years old, they are still bathing you, they are still feeding you, then something is wrong with your growth. We need to start praying for deliverance. Hello? Because you are too big for the class that you are in. Can you imagine? You say you are 12 years old and you are still in kindergarten class. Have you seen their chairs in this school? For the nursery. Have you seen their chairs? When a 12-year-old sits on it, hello, the chair is going to collapse. In fact, you look odd inside the class. Praise the Lord. It's the same thing spiritually. When God expects that you grow spiritually and you are still behaving like a baby, how do you enter into your inheritance? The Bible declared in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. He said, for as long as an heir remains a child, what happens? He said, he can't come into his inheritance until he matures in the things of God. And when God sets maturity for you, there are certain things that you are taking now. It's coming to you easy. Then it starts coming. This was how I prayed now. Yesterday. And I found a bus to carry me to work. This was how I prayed now. And somebody looked at me and gave me money. This was how I prayed now, and I got that job. Then God will say, you are praying that same prayer, and then it's not getting you the kind of return that you expected to get. Beloved, it's not because God has forgotten you. God wants you to grow. It's time to start working for yourself. Mama is not going to carry you in her back again. You are too big for her to carry on the back. Praise the Lord. So the best that mama is going to do for you, you walk with your two hands. The best he can do is to hold your hand. And that's what God wants to do. To hold your hand. To walk with him. Hallelujah. That's what he wants to do. So as Isaac was enjoying the blessing under his father, God said, the time for you to enter and become who that I have prophesied you will become has come. And it always starts with a famine. With a challenge. Praise the Lord. So he looked at the option that he had. The best thing for me is to go and compromise. Hello? The best thing is to go and compromise. Like somebody was saying, oh, a man in an office, you know, in the secretariat, who is just a file carrier in the place, couldn't pay his children's school fees. The children are at home. They've sent them home. What is the man going to do? Where is he going to get the money? Then one big man came and said, please, I want to see your guy. Not, he said, your guy, is your name on the list of people to see? My name is not on the name. Now, what is it going to take to get my name there? Hello? Compromise will say, God has answered my prayer. My children cannot go back to school. Because what will first come to the mind of that guy is the school fees. He will say, divine open door. Supernatural open door from God. Hello? He calculate all the school fees quickly and add a little bit on top for their lunch. So we say, Oga, 70K. I will put your name. It will be number one. You will be the first person that Oga will see today. Now, the man is ready to pay. Hallelujah. He will pay the money, but you will also pay. Hallelujah. Why? Because there is no disobedient way to the promised land. Absolutely none. Glory be to Jesus. But you see, the children have already been sent home. So there's anxiety that my children will never be able to go to school again. How many of you can relate to what I'm saying? Yours may not be school fees. It may be house rent. What is going to happen? How am I going to meet this need in my family? I will not be a man again. Ew! My wife will now use that now as an opportunity. Hey, what is going to happen? And then an opportunity comes to you to compromise your faith. And the devil will be standing behind along with his demons. Take it. You won't have a better deal. Take it. Hallelujah. Take it. Hello? Oh, you are a student. You are in class. You will not study. Hallelujah. Stop playing. Start studying. If you play with your time, you will pay. Play now, you will pay later. Hallelujah. Everybody is studying. You have an opportunity to go to school. There are many people brilliant. They don't have the opportunity. Waste your time. Hello? And the devil will be telling you, when you now get to the exam hall, you look at all the questions, and you just go blank. You don't know the answer. And then you start using giraffe method, the worldly system. Devil will say, cheat. Cheat. Nobody will see you. And then your eyes will be rolling like this, to see what somebody else is writing, to go and write it. Hello? Why? Because we want immediate gratification. Isaac also wanted immediate gratification. Let that prophecy come back, come to pass. Now. If God is not going to do it now, let me go back to where I came from. Hello? In the world, I know 2 + 2 will be 4. But in the kingdom of God, this 2 + 2 is not adding up. I know how to do permutations. I will get results. I know how to seduce people to get what I want out of them. I know how to manipulate people to get what I want out of them. And now, kingdom law is telling you, you cannot manipulate. There is no disobedient way to the promised land. You want to get to the promised land, you have to do it God's way. That's where the challenge is. Because God's way is not always an easy way. God's way is not always a broad way. It's always a narrow way. And the Bible says, few people will find it. May you be part of the few that will find it. Praise the Lord. You look at your mates and you see what they have accomplished. They are living in their house in Banana Island. Hallelujah. And you want to go and live there. But you see, I am not from the family of monkeys. And I'm not saying this to say that there's not something wrong with Banana Island. It is good. It's a good place to live in. Hallelujah. But I'm not going to compromise to get myself there. Then I make myself a monkey in Banana Island. When you compromise to get to the promised land, you become a monkey in Banana Land. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isaac looked at Egypt. He said, things are working here. There is famine in this place. What? I mean, think about it. Why should anybody stay where there is famine? Where things are not working? Why? Why? And God is telling him, stay there. Stay in that place that looked to you as a desert. Oh my goodness. Stay in that place, no matter how bad it is. You better stay, Isaac. You are a child of promise. Stay where I ask you to stay. All that you need to turn around your situation is me. Praise the Lord. If I am with you, I will turn a desert land into a fruitful field. If you stick with me, I will bring out an oasis in the desert. I will bring water out of a flint rock. If you stay with me, if you remain with me, stay with me, Isaac. Hallelujah. Many a times God is coming to us and telling us, stay there until I get impatience out of you. Stay there until I get covetousness out of you. Stay there until I get all manner of compromise out of you. Stay there until I get bitterness out of you. Stay there until I get greed out of you. Stay there until I get unforgiveness out of you. Remain where I say that you should remain. Stay there. Don't move an inch. Don't go down. Don't compromise. Don't live below your privileges in God. Don't compromise. Compromise is a contraception that can deny you of the best that God has for you. Now let's look at how we are going to now access it. Isaac was in the land of famine. The scripture tells us when God spoke to him and said, look, I have not forgotten the promise that I made to your father Abraham, that I will bless him and bless his descendants. You being the chief of them. I've not forgotten. God is not slack in his promise. Sometimes there's something that God is looking for in you. So he's asking you to stay. You look at the place, you say, Lord, it is painful. He says, stay in the pain. Because at the end of the day, I will turn the pain to a profit. Praise the Lord. I will turn it to profit for you. Why? God, you see, as it's generally said, that it is not the destination that is really important. It is who you have become by the time you reach the destination. Praise the Lord. So sometimes God is taking you from point A. He wants to take you to point B. But what you become between point A and point B is more important to God than real point B in itself. Hallelujah. The process of getting to the promise is more important than the promise itself. Praise the Lord.
Because God needs to process us before we can actually take delivery of that promise. Otherwise, we will make a mess of the promise. So he's going to get pride out of you. He's going to get arrogance out of you. So that by the time you get to your point B, you will give glory to only one person, and that is God. Hallelujah. You know, people who are proud, they don't know that they are proud. Arrogant people don't know they are arrogant. They don't know. They just think that they are talking. But if you are a sensitive person, I can pick pride from what you see. You don't have to tell me I'm a proud person. Speak, I will know that you are proud. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So that is what is most important to God. Now, how am I going to access these divine assets that God has given unto me? Hallelujah. The Bible makes us to understand. If you read it in the book of Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, the Bible says, it is the Father's pleasure to give the children his kingdom. It is the pleasure of God to give you the kingdom and all the advantages that come with kingdom living. It is his pleasure. So it's not because God is hard. He's a tax master. He doesn't want you to have the best of life. God wants us to have the best of life. It is because of that that Jesus Christ came, shed his blood, died on the cross, and rose that we might be partakers of his divine nature. So why would God want to deny you of the good things of life if he could give his son to suffer to get it? Hallelujah. The price is already paid. As our brother says often these days, it is a finished work. Hallelujah. There are no new victories. Everything has been completed. It's already. But we need to know how to access all the advantages of the kingdom of God. How? God told Isaac, I said, don't go to Egypt. Don't get back to the world. Don't operate by pattern. Don't operate by the system of the world. This is how you operate. Operate the kingdom law and it will deliver profit to you. Praise the Lord. And he told him exactly how to do it. This is how you access it. He said, you access by faith, number one. You access by your obedience. Your obedience is the action of your faith. Praise the Lord. Let somebody say faith. You access it by faith. And what did Isaac do? He believed, just like his father Abraham believed God. He believed the word of God. God told him, he said, stay in Gerar. And the Bible says, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. That was obedience. Praise the Lord. That was obedience. He believed what God said. He believed the prophecy that God gave his father Abraham. And he said, that prophecy is for me because it's a generational blessing. How do I access that blessing? He said, by faith. And the Bible explains to us what faith is. Faith is what? The substance of things that are hoped for and the evidence of things that are not yet seen. When you hold on to faith, you believe that what God said he would do, he will do it. Praise the Lord. You believe it without any doubt in your mind. So my definition of faith is a practical demonstration of your confidence in God and in his word. And that was exactly what I did. There was a practical demonstration by him not going down to Egypt and staying where God told him to stay. He obeyed because he believed he that said it. Do you believe that the promise that God has given unto you, that God will be faithful to it? A lot of times we say, yes, we believe God, we have faith. But our action does not match what we say we believe. If you truly believe, show me your faith. James says, it is by your works. In other words, your act of obedience is what reveals your faith. Hallelujah. When you pray and you ask God for something, what do you do? Lord, as I am going to that company, as I get to the gate, let favor begin to surround me. What I am going to this company, Father, let me hear yes concerning it. And God is taking you, and you are going there. And then you see a lot of people outside. No, nobody is coming in today. And I pray, though. You hear what they are saying now. Who spoke? Hello? Who spoke? Whose report do you believe? You left your house believing that the door will be open unto you. You go to the place. One man. Oh. God said, I said before you an open door. Man said, the door is shut, and you believe that. And you will turn back now and say, well, I'm going. And start blaming God that God didn't answer your prayer. No, God answered your prayer. But as a kingdom citizen who understands dominion, you will stay there until what God says is what you experience. Praise the Lord. You stay there until that door is open unto you. Let them continue to say there is no way. And you will tell them there is a way. The door has been opened in the realm of the spirit. It's only a question of time before the physical catch up with what the spirit has revealed. Hallelujah. Many of God's promises, this is what is denying us of his. Because we are not applying the right principle to access the assets that God has given to us. We are not applying them. Because we think because God said he's going to do something, God's going to fall on your laps. Hello? You will have to fight for what you believe is yours. And the fight may be that you will be patient, you will persevere, you will be persistent. And say, this is what God says. I'm standing on the word of God. I'm going to obey what God says. Hallelujah. You can imagine on that day, as the Bible recorded, that Jesus and the mother went for a wedding ceremony. They got to the reception and they said that, oh, the wine was done. There was no wine anymore. And everybody started complaining. What are we going to do? And the mother of Jesus went to the people and told them, look, son, this is what is happening, you know. And he told the men, okay, go and get water and get this and all that. And they came to the mother and said, what's this guy talking? We are talking about wine. He's talking about water. Is there no difference between water and wine? We know that they both start with letter W, but then there is a difference between water and wine. And the mother said, whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. Praise the Lord. Whatsoever he tells you to do, just do it. Because there is always a profit in it. There is a gain in it. Webster Dictionary defines profit and said it is a valuable result. So anytime you are obeying what God tells you to do, you are sure it will never fail you. There will be a valuable result at the end of the day. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So he said, whatsoever he tells you, do it. So they quickly went and obeyed what he said. And you know what happened? A miracle happened. What was the miracle? The water was turned to wine. But it was water. But you and I, we look at a situation and say, it is impossible. That's exactly how they thought. This is not happening. But when you obey the word of God, you will access the asset. Praise the Lord. The wine was already there. Glory be to Jesus. Because all things are ready. But they needed to access the wine. Through what? Their obedience. And the faith in what he told them to do. Do you do what God tells you to do? Help me ask your neighbor. When was the last time you did something that God told you to do? Some of you will answer, I didn't know whether God, it was God. I didn't know whether it was God that told me to do it. I didn't know whether it was God. I didn't know it. I didn't know whether it's his voice. Praise the Lord. Hello. Especially when it is in the area of giving. Go and give that person 2 shirts. The devil will come to you and say, 2 shirts. You only have 3. You go and give 2. There is only 1 remaining. Remember, you are going to Bolaji's birthday. Where will you wear? Hello? Do I have some relations in this place? I mean, this is how the devil comes and cheats us out of the blessing, out of the assets. We fight. You can't give it. God knows I don't have. God knows intention. No, God does not bless intentions. Write it down. I would have done it. If I had it, I would have done it. God will not ask you to do it if he didn't know you already had it. The Bible says he will not tempt you above that which you are able to bear. Glory be to Jesus. That's why sometimes when they said they should give somebody else, God knows that if I have it. You know what I do in such situations? If I look at myself, I say I don't have it. You know what I do? Father, you already know that I have it. Now bring it. Glory be to Jesus. Because I know that it is a seed and a profit is going to come from it. Hallelujah. You see how people miss assets. This is how you miss your assets. This is how you miss your assets. It's the inability to give it what it takes to access it. And the Bible is telling us today, access it by your faith. Access it by your obedience to whatsoever God tells you to do. A man was in famine. Nothing was working. Economic crunch was there. Recession was in the land of Gera. But guess what happened? As we read it, the Bible said, Isaac sowed in that same land that there was famine. In that same land that there was famine. Some people may leave the shores of this country and say, I'm looking for greener pastures in Hungary, in Poland, in Iceland, in all manner of lands that people leave Nigeria to go to. They travel through Libya. They go through all manner of things on their way. A few of them probably will get to their final destination only to get there, either to be sold as slaves, or they get there, they are sold into prostitution, or they get there, they are doing menial jobs. Hello? But I choose to stay in Gera, because if I stay with God in Gera, God will cause my famine to turn to feast. He will turn my famine to become festivals for me. Hallelujah. Did God ask them to go? Hello? Somebody sent me a video. I said, don't send this kind of video to me again. Don't send it. When a young lady was given chloroform, just chloroform, not a medically approved anesthesia, and just chloroform, and they began to do surgical operation in her body. To remove what? To remove her heart while she's still alive. Why? Because there's so much demand for people who are looking for heart transplant, kidney transplant, and things. And they showed it. It was in the video as they were cutting her body to remove essential organs from her body. And her head was still shaking like this. Which means she was still alive. Hello? But the day that she left the shores of her country, she would say, I am going to greener pastures. Did she see greener pastures? Who sent her there? By what faith? By whose obedience? Beloved, if you go where God didn't send you, His grace will not sustain you there. That's why it is in our own interest to hear what God has to say. Let Him lead you by His Spirit. Lord, what will you do in this particular situation? How do you want me to act? And you say, well, God is not answering. I asked yesterday, I didn't hear anything. Wait again. Well, I tried today again, I didn't hear. Wait again. But time is going. You do wait, because when the profiting appears like this, you will not have enough room to contain it. Hallelujah. God will never disappoint those who wait on Him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He rewards them. God is not a bad businessman. He's in business to make profit. He understands that. So He knows if you invest your time, He knows that there must be profit that will come out of it. Glory be to Jesus. He knows. No matter how hard it looks like, no matter how long it seems like, God is still God. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So that's how we access it. Open your Bible to Hebrews 4 and verse 2 to 3. I want us to read something here. Because many of us, we just hear the word of God like you are hearing a preaching today. You are hearing the word of God being preached to you. I say, but I go to church. I heard the word of God. Many of you that we announce from this pulpit, go back to the website. Listen to the messages again. Many of you have not turned there. You would rather turn to what your friends have to say on Facebook. You would rather turn to the comment they have to make on Twitter, rather than for you to go and listen to the message that you hear today. Then when you are faced with your famine, you don't know what to do. You want to go down to Egypt. Because all you have been feeding yourself with is Egypt. It's the Babylonian system. That is what you know. And God said, you cannot access my blessings with Babylonian system. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Are you there? Hebrews 4, verses 2 to 3. Please read. Unto us was the gospel preached, yes. And as well as unto them. He said, that word that was preached did not profit them. Why? Because they didn't mix it with faith. They keep hearing the word of God. You are seated here week in, week out. The Bible says, if you do not mix it with faith, you deny yourself of an access to your assets. Hello? You deny yourself. If you mix it with faith, if you obey what God is telling you, then you will see your sorrow turn to joy. Then you will see a spirit of heaviness leave you and a garment of praise will come upon you. Hallelujah. They did not mix it with faith. So the Bible says it did not profit them. How many messages, preachings have you heard that you are not getting anything out of it? And the Bible is saying, you know why you are not getting anything out of it? It's not because of what is being preached. It is because you are not mixing it with faith. If you mix it with faith, it will profit you. Hallelujah. Because the word is sent for your profiting. That's why the word of God is sent. So we pray, we confess, we say all these things, but we don't mix it with faith. And therefore, it does not profit us. We pay attention to so many other things. Beloved, when you start paying attention to what God is saying and telling you to do, beloved, the whole world around you will start paying attention to you. Huh. Glory be to Jesus. When you start minding the things of God, God will start minding your business. Praise the Lord. He will start minding your business. So it is to your profit to mix the word of God that is delivered to you with faith. Oh, yes, I have faith. No. I don't know you have faith until you get that faith into a fight. Get your faith into a fight. Hallelujah. Oh, they are not employing anybody. They are not giving any contract in this place. I said, God told me to come to this place. Hallelujah. But madam, you see, you cannot see anybody. I don't have to go there and say, Oga, messenger, what will it cost to put my name on the list? What will it cost? I already know. Someone has already paid on my behalf what it will cost. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. It will open any closed door. Amen. I told you when my husband and I were looking, we were in the ministry, we didn't even know where we were going. Hallelujah. I mean, somebody could have asked us, who needed school fees for his children like that man? And say, God has sent me pray. Today, I will make a prayer of these people. But when the Holy Ghost is around you, when God's help is with you, God made sure they first of all took light in that ministry. So that the person that will help us will have to remove the blinds on their window. Oh, hey, somebody following God here. God is a master strategist. There was no light in the home ministry. The commissioner had to open her doors and her windows. She removed the blind open. So that when myself and my husband were walking on the corridor, her eyes would meet our eyes. Glory be to Jesus. And when our eyes met our eyes, we bypassed the secretary, bypassed the messenger. She herself invited us in. Praise the Lord. When you obey whatsoever he tells you to do, he told us, go there. We didn't know who to see. We were just walking. Many of us, you say, I cannot go to a whole alausa. I don't even know which ministry. Pastor, how many ministries are there? Uncountable. How do you know which one exactly to go to? But the block that we went was the block that the person that God will use to connect us was. How did that happen? Because we obeyed God. If we had sat down and said, we are praying, God, open the door. God will be saying, but I've opened the door. Shut up. Add action, works to your faith. Get on your feet. Move somewhere. I will direct your path for the path of the just. Oh. Kayabadaya. God orders your steps. Just obey him. I've told you, if you are really going to know God, I mean, really know him and get close to him and take delivery of all the advantages of kingdom living, you will have to lose your mind. Because your mind gets in the way. You are too intelligent for God to lead. Praise the Lord. You'll be reasoning things out. Praise the Lord. You can't reason God out. That's why he's God. If you can reason him out, then you should be God. Glory. He should be God. That's why he's God. All present, all knowing, all powerful, all wise. That's who he is. So you will be wise to surrender to his leadings. Not to move until you hear him tell you. And Isaac stayed in Gerar. Hear what God says. is the benefit and the profit that he got from it. Many people would have gone to Egypt. They would have gone to trade there, and they will use their intellect, use their permutation and their seductions, and use everything that they think they know in their, you know, their sharp moves, how to connect. But Isaac stayed in the land of famine. And guess what? Hey, glory be to Jesus. What happened to him? The Bible said, then Isaac sowed in that land of famine and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man waxed great. Is somebody listening? He went forward, meaning the guy was just progressing spiritually, financially, materially, relationally. He was progressing. He was moving forward in life. Hey, and grew until he became very great. He was not only just great, he became very great. Beloved, if that is not dominion, I don't know what dominion is. And God said, let them have dominion. This is how you have dominion. You become fruitful. You produce, you reproduce, you distribute. Hello? And take control. He was in control. For he had possessions of flocks, of possession of herds, and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Sometimes you are waiting on God, it looks as if you are not doing anything. And the devil will say, is this how you are going to sit down on your case? Hello? Is this how you are going to sit down on your matter? Yes, that's how I'm going to sit down on my matter. Because God is working undercover on my behalf. Glory be to Jesus. So I enter my rest. Oh, Jesus. I've made up my mind, though. No more worries. Praise the Lord. All I want to spend my time, my mind on is to make sure I'm loving him. I'm serving him. I'm pleasing him. Praise the Lord. When you do all that, he takes care of all the others. Hallelujah. Yes, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. I don't know about you. I like that part. That things will be at my service. I like that. He said, he will make all things to be at my service, because that's what it means. I'm not working for them. Those things will just be coming to me of their own accord. How? Why? You don't like that? Praise the Lord. You see, that's why a lot of people are proud and arrogant. Because they believe that what they have and where they are, they got it by their sheer hard work. Glory be to Jesus. But to someone like me, I'm not a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. A more than a conqueror person is the one that realized that if it had not been God who has been on your side, you would not have made it. Praise the Lord. So when you sit down, you seek the kingdom of God first, and God begins to add something to you. Beloved, you are somebody that will perpetually stay in a place of humility and repentance. You will be like Peter, who told the Lord and said, look here, I am astute in my profession as a fisherman. If I tell you there is no fish in this place, there is no fish. And Jesus said, you have met today the creator of the fish. You think you know the fish? I created the fish. I also created you, the fisherman. Glory be to Jesus. Whatever I create will answer to my voice. And when Peter said, well, I thy word, I will obey you. I'm going to trust what you say. And I'm going to launch out into the deep again. And when he did, what did the Bible say? Prophet has to show up. Hallelujah. He has to show up. It is the reward for obedience. It has to show up. Hallelujah. Is somebody hearing God today? In conclusion, I want you to see what obedience and faith does. to help you to access your assets. Number one, God's grace will profit you where He positions you. God's grace, write that down. God's grace will profit you where He positions you. Number two, faith receives what grace has made available. Faith receives what grace has already made available. Whatsoever you want to run to Egypt for and go down to Babylonian system, it has already been provided by grace. And to access it is by faith. Number three, obedience is the access key to your divine assets. Obedience is the access key to your divine assets. Number four, there is no disobedient way to the promised land. There is no disobedient way to the promised land. You want to access divine assets? Not with disobedience. You have got to obey whatsoever God tells you to do. Number five, seek God and not mammon. Seek God and seek His kingdom. He will make all the things the Gentiles are seeking to be at your service. Number six, if you are present where you are not needed, then you are absent where you are needed. If you are present where you are not needed, then you are absent where you are needed. And you can't be in two places at the same time. Hallelujah. Why? Because the place of assignment is the place of prosperity. The place of assignment is the place of prosperity. And God knew that. And He told Isaac, you don't go down to Egypt. Because you will not find prosperity there. Because that is not your place of assignment. If you stay in Gerar, then prosperity will show up. It's on the way. Hallelujah. So the place of assignment is the place of prosperity. This is how you profit in the kingdom of God. This is how we operate kingdom law of profit. By our faith, our practical demonstration of our faith in God, of our confidence in God, and our obedience to whatsoever He tells us to do. Do what God tells you to do. Believe whatever He says that you should do, and you will see sorrow turn to joy for you. You will see ashes turn to beauty for you. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, rise on your feet. Let's rise on our feet. Today, God has brought the word of God. It has been preached. You have heard it. Now, the next step is to mix it with your faith. That when you obey whatsoever God tells you to do, you will have access to the assets. Praise the Lord. Whatever it is that you believe God for, whatever promise of God, whatever prophecy have been spoken over your life, whatever good, the good things of life that you want, it's already provided. It's already. It's only for you and I to access it. And God has shown you and I the keys to access it today. And the keys have been delivered unto you. Now it's for you to take the key, put it on the door, and open it. And you will see yourself in a new level that you could ever imagine that you will be. You will see the advantages of the kingdom of God fall on your laps in the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to begin to pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit will help you to mix the word that has been preached today with faith. with faith. And whatsoever that you have missed in the past, God is willing to restore unto you as long as you begin to walk by faith and not by sight. As long as you make up your mind today and say, Lord, I've made up my mind. I'm no longer going to walk by sight. I'm no longer going to be impatient. I am going to be patient for you to do a work in me so that I can receive these divine assets. Holy Spirit, walk with me so that the kingdom of God will yield profits unto me. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Faith and obedience. Those are the two keys. Where are your keys? Do you have it? So go out there. Use it to open every door of blessing. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for Jesus.